Welcome back to That 590 Show. Our musical tribute to Chris Cornell continues. Chris Cornell dead at the age of 52 by an apparent suicide. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. And in studio with us, he has been all show, is J.J. Bailey from KMOV.com. You can follow him on Twitter at the J.J. Bailey. Let's head to the Belmont Automotive phone line, and our friend Jim joins us. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
I'm well, sir. What's on your mind?
Matt, you know what the Cardinals remind me of, especially last night with the manager and the pitching? I'm going to try to simplify this, and I hope not too long-winded. It reminds me of a six-shooter gun.
Okay.
You have six empty barrels, or empty cylinders. You fill the first one with the starting pitcher, Mike Leake. Did a pretty good job. Then you bring in Trevor Rosenthal. I have no problem with that. You put another one in. He ends up letting them tie the game. Well, I put another one in, so you have now two in. Now I'm putting two more in to make a total of four in the gun because you brought in your closer in the top of the ninth when there's nothing to close. And then I'm putting two more bullets in because Mr. Bowman comes in, does a brilliant job again on 10 pitches. And you know how I feel about this, Matt. The gun is now loaded. Then you bring in the next pitcher, and what happens? The gun goes off, boom goes the bullet. I don't get it. I don't understand it. If a kid can pitch 10 pitches, you're in a tie ball game, you don't know how long the game's going to go, why can't the kid go another frame?
I've never understood that either. I'm with you.
This guy, Matheny, he just shoots himself in the foot every game. The night before, they make three errors, they lose. You're losing interleague games to an American League manager who has to play National League rules. Hang up. Listen to your comments, man. Thanks for letting me vent. I enjoy your show completely. You have a great evening and a great weekend, okay?
You as well, Jim. Good hearing from you as always, sir. JJ, I don't even know how you feel about Mike Matheny. Are you a fan of his or a critic?
I'm certainly not allowed to be a fan.
Jim made great points, though, about it. I mean, Bowman throws 10. You bring O in, and yeah, it's not a safe situation. So why do you bring him in right then and there when it's not a save?
Well, that's something that Mike has adjusted to favoring a little bit more. He used to never, you know, would never not bring him in if it wasn't a save situation. The rationale there that you'll get is, look, this is, you bring the closer in the most high leverage, the most critical moment in the game, right, generally. And in this situation, you cannot go down because you believe you give your offense the chance to score and they will score. That's the way you have to approach it. And so at this point, if you cannot afford a run, you use your best run preventer. And in that case, in that moment, it's Sung 1-0. So he brings him in there because you can't play for it to go 13 innings. You can only play to win the game. And to win the game, your best shot is to not let them score at that moment. So you deploy Sung 1-0. Some of the stuff with Matt Bowman kind of boggles the mind, but I've learned my lesson enough times to know that you ask later and you get an answer that, you know, there was discomfort there, that actually he wasn't supposed to pitch that day because his warm-ups didn't go very well, his neck was tight, or I'm not saying
sure
that happened, but this has happened multiple times.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, why hasn't this guy been deployed? And you find out a day or two later when the player opens up that actually, like, I wasn't really going to go unless they absolutely need me, like, you know, I had some back tightness or whatever, and that's all that they were willing to throw him out there for, is to just get us through, give us one more chance to try and win this game so that we don't have to, you know, Just save us for this inning, and we'll get you out of there. And so that can be some of the reasoning as to why these guys don't go. Now, in this particular situation, we don't have that answer yet. We'll have to wait until Friday until you can talk to these guys again. But as far as the broader question, there are some good things that Mike Matheny does that most of the time you don't find out until later, and you generally never find them out from Mike. You find them out from players or things. But
sure,
it is undeniable that tactically – he has made very public and very serious missteps, especially with bullpen management. And the case could be made, last season that there are four or five games that I could point to in the scorebook, if you gave me enough time to look them up, that I can say Mike Matheny is the reason that this game was lost. These decisions directly correlated with the outcome of the game.
And I think
so. I'm not a defender, but I will say that there's a lot of times he plays this really, really close to the vest, and so you don't find out some of the logic until much later.
To me, I think the most frustrating thing about Mike Matheny is that he doesn't seem to learn.
Yes, that's been a criticism of from almost everybody in the media. I know Bernie's really gone in on it a couple times, but I've written it. I know people at the Post have written it. Just about everybody has written it that there's a certain amount of time for a guy that is a diligent note taker and has these big notebooks full of decisions that he made and the outcome and whether they were favorable or not. How is it that you keep seeing some of these strange, nonsensical moves with the bullpen? How come you see guys deployed for two innings and then pushed again for maybe two more nights in a row? How is it that you have not managed these resources more carefully after 4 or 5 years on this job? So those questions, he has not been a good self-evaluator. And I think that's part of that's probably his biggest flaw, is that he's not been able to evaluate his own decisions and improve upon them.
And the people who are the biggest defenders of Mike Matheny, what's the first thing they always do? They point to his record.
They point to record.
They point to his record. Yeah, they do. And you can't argue against that. The numbers are what they are.
I mean, the team did win 100 games. The team did weather injuries, catastrophic injuries, and continue to win. He's good in that sense of managing the dynamic of a team, managing, you know, keeping things on an even keel.
And they went to the playoffs, except for last year. Yep. Every year that he was a manager, the Cardinals have been to the postseason.
But so, where did they end? I would say that. Where did they end those seasons?
That's the thing, too. Okay, they went up and then they went down.
Yeah.
It was, you know, they made it into the divisional and then the NLCS. Then they made it to the World Series. And after they lost the World Series to the Boston Red Sox, then they lost in the NLCS. Then they lost in the divisional series.
And then they didn't make the playoffs.
And the next thing you know, they're out of it altogether. And mm-hmm. It seems like as the roster was kind of maybe more to his liking is when the team started to go on the downslope. But the thing is, like, when you're the manager, the things that you're the most in charge of is bullpen management, obviously. Setting the tone of the clubhouse is another as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are basically your two main things. You're not really teaching them how to play. They already know how to play baseball.
Yeah, and monitoring the running game.
That's
another big one, which is was a big problem area in 2016.
Okay, so and also this year, too. So yeah. You're looking at the running game in 2016. You look at the running game this year, abysmal. You're looking at the management of the bullpen. There's some serious flaws there, as you have already pointed out. And here's another thing, too. It seems like this Cardinals team is always so tense. It seems like, you know, if there was a loud fart in the room, they would jump 10 feet. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I've met Mike Matheny. I don't know if you have. I've met him in person.
Almost every day I get to talk to him.
Okay. He's not an unlikable guy.
No.
I don't like him as a manager, but I don't think he's an unlikable guy.
No, he's by all accounts, a fairly nice guy, fairly open guy, and a very good player's manager if it's the right kind of player. He goes out of his way. He connects with players as people, a lot of them, not all of them. Certainly personalities clash in certain cases, but that's what the players will say to you is that he's there. Most, you know, the players that love Mike, Mike's there for them on the field, off the field, tries to take care of them, and that's, as a leader, I know they like to throw that around, but as a leader of the clubhouse, he generally can keep the team on an even keel. You know, things don't get out of hand. Even when they're really, really struggling last year, even when, you know, guys were underperforming and the pitching couldn't get right, the team was still in the playoff hunt until the last day. Where you could make the case if it's a different personality. I'm not making that case, but if you could make that case, if it's a different personality, maybe they missed the playoffs by 10 games. However, those same mistakes that, you know, managing the bullpen, managing the late game switches, when to deploy pinch hitters, the running game, those things continue to haunt Mike Matheny. They do. And the running game is better this year. It doesn't look better in terms of steals and percentages, but there's really, really interesting StatCast numbers that came out about the leads the guys are taking off Cardinal pitchers are feet less than what they were last year. They're getting better at keeping guys closer to the bag. Now, the caught stealing numbers aren't there, but last year, if you remember, they started off, they caught like 7 out of the first 16 guys. It looked like they were going to be great, and then they finished just terribly. You and I could have stolen 30 bases off them if we got enough time. But this year, I think they're starting a little uglier, but all of the little pieces, all those little markers of, like, are you getting eaten alive on the bases? Those are improved, but the overall numbers are still wanting.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that for the second year in a row, you saw this team really come out flat right out of the gate. And yeah. I don't understand how you come out that flat out of spring training.
Well, especially this spring training, because it was so good. They won
so
many games. They had so much energy.
And what did you hear last year? Last year, you heard there was like a little bit of a tension in the clubhouse. No one ever said what it was, but they were reporting of there being tension in the clubhouse. And then this year, you bring in Dexter Fowler, who's got like this big, fun personality. He seems like he's the type of guy that walks into the room and the whole place just lights up.
Kind of like
Jimmy the Gent Conway in Goodfellas.
Yeah, he's a huge energy guy.
Absolutely.
A huge guy.
He He's playing music. Everybody's having fun. And that's what you heard. You heard that they were having so much fun in spring training. And then I understand that you had a little bit of the lull of the World Baseball Classic. But they, other than, I mean, they had a couple players out. Yeah, Yadier Molina out. And then that was about it, though. And then, you know, you get the group back together again. And I understand, you know, you're playing Springfield. You're playing Memphis. Not exactly a whole lot of fun. You're just waiting for it to get over with.
Yeah.
But then you get to there, you have that great Sunday night game, that fun Sunday night game against the Cubs, and after that, you were just...
Yeah. And that's tough.
I don't get it.
And that is tough to explain. And the thing is, I don't think they could pinpoint it. I don't think there is like a greater truth to come out to finally make it all make sense. Because they were looser. They were better in spring. They played great baseball in spring. They had super high energy. And obviously, the Molina contract kind of hung over the team as a little bit of a pall there near the end because people were debating what's going to happen here. But they didn't come out and just get blasted by the Cubs. It looked fine. And then all of a sudden, it was just like... They were like the players in Space Jam. The Monstars just took their abilities. They just couldn't do anything. So, I mean, this team that we're seeing now looks a lot more like the team I thought we'd see. Good, better on the bases themselves, better in the field. Pitchers are a little bit more normalized, but still very vulnerable in these same areas that we were concerned about before. This looks a lot more like the actual St. Louis Cardinals, a team that can compete, but I still don't see them beating the Cubs when the Cubs are at the height of their powers.
I don't either, and I still think they're going to be fighting for one of the playoff spots. I still think they're going to fall just a little short. I think they're going to look
going to be crowded fast.
It is. I think the record is going to look a lot like last year. I mean, they're playing great now, but they're going to come into a tough stretch against the Dodgers, against the Rockies, against the Chicago Cubs. It's going to be some tough sledding the next week and a half. We'll see how it goes. The month of May is all about grads, moms, giving thanks to those that lost their lives in service to this country, and the unofficial start of summer vacation season. As you travel across this great country of ours, remember to show appreciation for those that lost their lives to keep it free. You also want to have the confidence that the car you and your family are traveling in is top-notch. I can personally assure you that such vehicles can be found at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Ryan Kimner and his sales staff will be there by your side if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, have a wide inventory of both, and financing for everyone. $6,000 off Grand Caravans, up to $12,000 off Rams, and $5,500 off Cherokee, which is their best-selling product. You can never go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. Let's take a commercial break. Final segment of the night coming up next. You're listening to That 590 Show, right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.